Jordan Secchio. Today on Jay Secchio Live, reports that Israel is right on the cusp of creating a vaccine that would be available against the coronavirus. Will the world decide to boycott or sanction that? We'll talk about it today on Jay Secchio Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Secchio Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Secchio.
There's been a lot of talk politically about the coronavirus. I want to go right off the top of the bat. I think it's something to take seriously. It's reached a pandemic level. It's crossed borders, countries. We see some cases here in the United States. I do point out, and I'm not trying to downplay the concern about it, but I do point out that, you know, the common flu and more common ailments can be more deadly and dangerous. But when you do have something spreading worldwide that there isn't a vaccine for, you certainly want to get that vaccine as soon as possible so that you can end that concern, which I think will, the stock market changes that we're seeing right now will be completely reversed once that goes into effect and cases start coming down rapidly and the spread is totally contained. Well, get this. There's a kind of breaking news out of Israel. Jerusalem Post reporting it, Daily Wire reporting it as well. And so are the scientists, went on the record. So Israeli scientists said that in a few weeks, we will have the coronavirus vaccine. And that once the vaccine is developed, it would take about 90 days to complete the process and get it to the marketplace. So we're talking about a few months to have a full vaccine. Now, it'd be wonderful if the United States or Israel or somewhere anywhere else can do this quicker. The question is, what about all those Bernie Sanders supporters? They call Israel a racist government. He's got a lot of BDS supporters, too, that have endorsed him, like AOC. They support the boycott, divestment, and sanction of Israel. Would they boycott the vaccine? Would these socialist, anti-Israel, calling the government racist as Bernie Sanders did, would they boycott the vaccine for the coronavirus? If he was president, would he not allow that vaccine to be utilized in the United States? I mean, Than, I think it's a fair question because surrounding him, like Sarsour and Rashida Tlaib and AOC, are those who publicly support the boycott, divestment, and sanction of Israel. And that would certainly include this research institute, the Galilee Research Institute, whose scientists have got this vaccine right on the cusp and almost ready to go for the marketplace in a few months.
Yeah, Jordan, it's a fair question. And frankly, this is the question that can be asked anytime this comes up because Israel is so frequently at the cutting edge of these types of discoveries, not just in the medical field, but the intelligence field and the any other number of fields. And honestly, Jordan, I think it extends beyond Bernie voters and American citizens as well. What about the Islamic Republic of Iran, who thinks that Israel should be wiped off the face of the earth? That's a country right now where the spread of this virus is happening first. If Israel does have this breakthrough, if they do develop this vaccine that helps us to suppress the spread of it, I'm certain they would make it available to Iran. Is Iran going to boycott that because they think that any product that comes out of Iran or out of Israel should be boycotted? Jordan, if they're going to be intellectually consistent, they would have to. But I'll tell you right now, if Israel is the one that comes out with the vaccine to suppress this, that will be used in the United States, and it will also be used in Iran. Pretty telling, Jordan.
Folks, we're going to take your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. We also have news to report about the seriousness the White House is taking this with who it is being appointed to serve under the vice president who is managing this, the second highest elected leader in our country. And yet he's being criticized for being in this role. But he's got the top scientists, doctors in the country, well-respected both sides of the aisle, Ambassador Debbie Birx, to serve as the White House coronavirus response coordinator. Now, she's someone who they can't attack on the left. But we're still seeing this, the politics of this virus. It's to me, so disturbing that even this is becoming a partisan issue and is not something that unites our country and the world, like working with Israel. And the question, like, would Iran accept a vaccine because so many of its leaders are coming down with the coronavirus? We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
And that's what we've got going on here, folks. You realize is that the politics politicizing a health pandemic. So something that, again, we should come together as we do. We have the best, we have the CDC, we have the National Institute for Health. We can work together with global partners, work together with this Israeli scientist who have now said that they are. And I want you to explain this because I think this may be kind of shocking to you if you haven't seen this news, that they say that they could get this on the market within 90 days, go through the full regulatory process. I mean, get it on the market that quick. And our bigger political question is, well, what about those Bernie Sanders supporters who think Israel's this racist country run by racists that also call for the boycott, divestment, and sanction? And if you want to boycott Israel, well, I guess you'd boycott the vaccine for the coronavirus too, right? Right, AOC? Right, Rashida Tlaib? Bernie? What do you think? 1-800-684-3110. With the Iranian mullahs? Many of the senior leadership, including the vice president of Iran, has now come down with the coronavirus. Would they boycott the vaccine because it came from Israel? Would other Muslim-majority countries do that because it originated in Israel? It's a serious question. It's a real question. But this is what's interesting about this. The scientists behind this, and it's part of the Galilee Research Institute, and this scientist, Dr. Ken Katz, and he is the biotech group leader. He said, let's call it pure luck. We decided to choose, this was in the past, coronavirus as a model for our system, just as proof of concept for our new technology. And they were using coronavirus, which originates in poultry. So the poultry version, that strain, as the test for their technology. But after the scientists at this Israeli institute sequenced the DNA of the new coronavirus causing the current worldwide outbreak, the Galilee Institute researchers examined it and found that the poultry coronavirus has high genetic similarity to the human one and that it uses the same infection mechanism, which increases the likelihood of achieving an effective human vaccine in a very short period of time. All we need to do is adjust the system to the new sequence. We're in the middle of this process, and hopefully in a few weeks we'll have the vaccine in our hands. Yes, in a few weeks, if it all works, we would have a vaccine to prevent the coronavirus. This is out of a Israeli research institute. As Stan said, oftentimes Israelis on the cutting edge of technology, and this time it just so happened that this institute was in the midst of testing their own work with keeping this disease out of poultry. And so they were already working on it. And they just changed the simulation a little bit, the gene makeup a little bit, because to fit the human virus. And we've been sharing this data. You know, the world's been sharing this scientific data. And now they're on the cusp of it. But does the world say, oh, we're going to boycott that because it's Israeli made? Does Rashida Tlaib still support a boycott of Israel if it would stop coronavirus in her congressional district or in the United States of America? What about AOC or Bernie Sanders? Or are they going to stick to their boycott, divestment, and sanctions pledge and not allow a vaccine like this on the market if it is the first one that is available and available to us here in the United States? And those Iranian mullahs and all their leaders coming down with it, the coronavirus. Are they not going to accept it as well? 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. But what is sickening to me in the political sense is how partisan, the partisan nature, the politics of this pandemic here in the United States. The president being mocked, the vice president being mocked. Now, they're not mocking the person who is serving as the White House coronavirus response coordinator. She's Ambassador Birx. She's a world-renowned global health official and physician. She's detailed now to the office of the vice president, will report to Vice President Pence. And again, she in the past, she's a scientist, physician, has 3 decades of public health experience, including the vaccines and interagency coordination. She's utilized best science. She's changed the course of the HIV pandemic and brought that under control. Literally, she was credited for doing that. So she worked on decades on the HIV, AIDS, immunology, and vaccine research. She developed and patented vaccines, including leading one of the most influential HIV vaccine trials in history. 3 different administrations across both political parties have relied on her knowledge and judgment, and she previously coordinated the Army, Navy, and Air Force in their HIV-AIDS efforts and led the CDC's, the Center for Disease Control's, Division of Global HIV-AIDS, Center for Global Health Relief Program. You don't think they're taking it seriously at the White House? This is, again, someone, those good bureaucrats exist, good public servants that exist in Washington, D.C., who work across partisan aisles because they're scientists dedicated to preventing these kind of outbreaks, and then if there is one, just putting a stop to them. But that's not enough for Nancy Pelosi. With Nancy Pelosi, she's got to make it about politics. Take a listen, by 26.
Proposal, the Senate has a proposal. We'll have something similar, which addresses the need for the professionals to be in place. The president let go a couple of years ago, never replaced them. This is shameful. Puts forth a proposal now that is meager, anemic, in terms of addressing as well. With Ebola, we did $5 billion. Now they're trying to take the Ebola money and spend it here. So what he's doing is late, too late, anemic. Hopefully we can make up for the loss of time. But it'll have to have the professionals in place, the resources that are adequate, and not be giving, using scare tactics about people coming back to our country.
So absurd. If you know where the virus originated, you don't let people from that country come into your country while the virus is still active. Do you realize there? She's still trying to say a scare tactics about people coming back to our country. Listen, Israel has told its citizens, don't go anywhere. In Italy, they were really prepared for it, and it's still, the numbers continue to climb, specifically in northern Italy. But if you knew that China was the source, it's not a scare tactic. It's why we have not had a more serious outbreak yet in the United States. Because, and why we're still trying to figure out this case in California, and I'm not a scientist, about a person who says they haven't come into contact and they weren't recently traveling. So they're trying to figure that out. But that one case, and it's a very serious one, which is unlike most cases of this, of the coronavirus, this is a serious case. So again, the scare tactics idea, the idea too that we gutted our health system, Than, that is an outright political lie. In fact, PolitiFact fact-checked Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden saying this in the debates and saying this in their remarks, that the Trump administration got rid of all the global health specialists and all the scientists, and it's just flat out false. It's not true.
Well, even Speaker Pelosi contradicted herself in that very own statement. She criticized the president for using some of the $5 billion that was earmarked for the pandemic Ebola. Well, Jordan, that is what a responsible administration would do, is look around at the funding that is currently available to them and say, what if it is authorized for something like this? That money would certainly apply. So that's what they should be doing. And the second thing she did, Jordan, is she blamed the president for how fast a resources package might take to get to the president's desk if they need it. Well, who's responsible for initiating that process? It's the Article One branch. It's Speaker Pelosi. It has to originate in the House of Representatives. So look, if she thinks the number should be, you know, $8 billion instead of $5 billion, that's kind of the range that people are talking about. Jordan, she can pass that bill yesterday. She could have sent it to the Senate with whatever number she wanted that is in her jurisdiction. And the other thing here, Jordan, we've talked a lot about boycott. That's kind of looking forward. Would people actually boycott this vaccine? They probably wouldn't. But think about the damage that might have already been done by this effort trying to sanction companies who might have invested in this very institute or divested investment. Maybe, Jordan, the development of this vaccine would be further down the line if those sanction and divest efforts hadn't happened in our history.
I mean, here we go. This is from directly the head of the Galilee Research Institute in Israel, Dr. Itamar Yadid. He's talking about it directly. This is just yesterday when they went public with this news, Bite 19.
Now we are producing sufficient quantities to test it in humans and to see if we can produce protecting antibodies against this virus. It's a matter of weeks or a very few months until we have the sufficient quantities to start those trials. And once the regulators or the Ministry of Health approves this vaccine and decide that it is safe for use, then it should be ready.
I mean, there you go. Fairly quick option. And if the world backed what they're doing at the Galilee Institute, I'm sure that our administration took note of this and is in touch with them now on health issues like that and scientific research issues like that, could be done probably that much more quickly. We're taking your phone calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. The president being accused on the one hand of not taking it seriously enough by the same Democrats who are saying he's using scare tactics by banning travel from the countries where this virus is originating. Now, at the same time, you had people like Elizabeth Warren saying, if we opened up our borders, we'd actually be able to combat coronavirus better. I mean, it's absurd what we're hearing on the left. It is pure politics, even when it comes down to combating a pandemic. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are talking about this politics of a pandemic, but reporting good news out of Israel, a research institute there, scientific research institute there, the Galilee Research Institute, is reporting, and it's in the Jerusalem Post, Daily Wire, and I think it should be getting more widespread news. Why we're bringing it to you is they say in a few weeks we will have the coronavirus vaccine, and once the vaccine's developed, it takes about 90 days to complete the regulatory process and get it on the marketplace. The vaccine would prevent you, if once you got the vaccine, from being able to contract the coronavirus, which is spreading around the world. Now, there's probably a little too much hype around the virus and the effects of it, not to take away from any of those who have been more severely affected by it. But like, we don't oftentimes on this broadcast talk about the flu and the flu epidemics that sweep through the United States pretty regularly on every few years, even more serious strands of the flu that end up killing more people than this virus has to date and likely will, just in our country. But this is something new, so there's got to be a new kind of, you've got to put together a new vaccine. And out of Israel, they're very close to doing it. I don't know how close other institutes are here in the United States or in the rest of the world, but this institute was ready to go on the record about it. My bigger political question, because this has become so partisan, is that all those Bernie Sanders backers, and I'll get into it because, hey, it's relevant because Bernie Sanders is on track to have the most delegates at least going into the Democratic convention. Now, you hear I'm being careful now saying he has the most delegates going into the Democratic convention. Will they let him actually be the nominee? It's a different question. But he's on track. Even without a win in South Carolina, it's likely Joe Biden will have a pretty good victory there in South Carolina this Saturday. When you look at Super Tuesday, go through some of the states that we have polling on. We don't have polling on all of the states. In California, Bernie Sanders has a double-digit lead, and actually double the next candidate down, which is Elizabeth Warren. Joe Biden in third place, Bloomberg in fourth. In Texas, Sanders is within margin of error, but leading, at least by 3%, in some polls up to even 4% over Joe Biden. In North Carolina, which borders South Carolina, so it's very, kind of similar demographics, not the exact same, but similar. Sanders still is actually leading Biden. Just barely. It's within the margin of error. But, we know Bernie's got more momentum going. In Virginia, he has a almost 7-point lead over his next closest rival, Mayor Bloomberg. And in the latest poll, an 11-point lead over him. In Massachusetts, Bernie Sanders is beating Massachusetts' own Senator Elizabeth Warren. I'm sure he's not even expecting to do that. But, and it's still within the margin of error, but by almost 4 points. So almost outside the margin of error. In Colorado, he's got a huge lead. Like California, double digit. In Minnesota, yes, Amy Klobuchar is in the lead, but Bernie Sanders is right behind her. He will get delegates there. In Oklahoma, it's the only state polling right now that Bloomberg is in the lead, but only within the margin of error against Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. And then you look at Utah. Utah, Bernie Sanders again with a double-digit lead over his next closest rival. He's going to come out of Super Tuesday, Than, with more delegates than anyone else, more victories than anyone else, even after what happens in South Carolina this weekend. I think the two scenarios in South Carolina, one is that Joe Biden does better than expected, which is a double-digit win. And if he gets that, I think it actually just helps Bernie Sanders because it blunts Mike Bloomberg. And if Joe Biden comes out with less than expected, barely pulls off a victory, and Bernie is able to kind of pull off some kind of miracle and even make it close in South Carolina, then I think that's also good for Bernie Sanders because Joe Biden starts crumbling, and Mike Bloomberg is not really registering in these other states, especially the big ones. So, but we bring up Bernie Sanders today because on his campaign, his endorsers, he's got a number of BDS activists. They support the boycott, and divestment, and sanction of Israel. So we question if the Israeli institute that we're talking about today is the first to have a vaccine available on the worldwide market. Would AOC... would Bernie, Rashida Tlaib, Sarsour, who endorses him and is a spokesperson for him, would they say we're not going to use that vaccine in the United States? Would they take the same line. Are the Iranians going to do that? They're not going to cure their top cabinet leaders because it originated out of Israel or some kind of conspiracy? I mean, it'd be more likely to me that Iran wouldn't, and of course the U.S. would. But under a Bernie Sanders presidency, you'd have to wonder. Because if it's truly what he calls it, which is a racist government, take a listen to Bernie Sanders. He calls it a racist government in Israel. Can you play it?
What I happen to believe is that right now, sadly, tragically, in Israel, through Bibi Netanyahu, you have a reactionary racist who is now running that country.
And you take a virus, a vaccine, from a reactionary racist, and you're spreading that kind of hate around the world.
Voter, Jordan, I don't think you can afford to take that chance, right? I mean, look, to be intellectually consistent, he would have to turn it away. I mean, if it's being run by a reactionary racist and he's been telling private companies that they have to divest their investments and he's been telling governing entities that they have to sanction those same institutions, well, then why wouldn't he follow through and say we have to boycott that investment? Jordan, you know, I would sure hope that he wouldn't. I would hope that the other checks and balances in place would end up overriding that. But I think it's something that's so serious that you can't take that chance. And just on the political point, Jordan, I mean, the only scenario where Bernie Sanders wasn't going to be the clear and away front runner after Super Tuesday was if Mayor Bloomberg and Vice President Biden somehow were one of them was able to coalesce. Jordan, we haven't seen that. So he is going to be the runaway leader after Super Tuesday. You mentioned California and Texas. Those are, you know, 415 delegates and 228 delegates respectively. Jordan, there's only two other states on Super Tuesday that have even more than 100 delegates. If Bernie Sanders wins those two states, he's going to have a several hundred delegate lead after Super Tuesday.
All right. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the phones. Let's go to Lynette calling in from New York on line four. Lynette, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
God bless you, Jordan. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm extremely proud of the way that the president and his entire staff are handling this virus outbreak. And I also wanted to share that a few days ago, I was watching the Christian Broadcasting Network's 700 Club.
Yep.
And another Israeli scientist has also successfully developed a mask that is infused with copper that kills an extremely high percentage. I don't remember the exact number, but yeah, it was way over 90% of the virus on contact.
Yeah.
So they're not only making wonderful breakthroughs with the vaccine, but also with the mask.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's because Israel is on the cutting edge of science and research, and it's a small country, but highly educated, and science and research are kind of like one of their top positions and what they kind of focus on as kind of their top export, if you will, is their scientific technology on lots of different fields and their research technology in many different fields, some commercial, some more like biochemical. It's no surprise that they would do this, that they would be able to combat this. They also are protecting what is the Jewish state and is about 7 million people. And you could see why a virus like this could cause a lot of concern in a country that size. So they've got a reason, too, to do this as well. We'll be back, second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live coming up.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Second half hour, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about kind of the two topics here, really, which is one, that the politics of a pandemic, and specifically the politics, the partisanship surrounding the coronavirus here in the United States, which on it just alone is sickening to see. You know, Nancy Pelosi saying, on the one hand, the administration is not taking it seriously enough. On the other hand, they're using scare tactics by banning travel. They hate, you know, any time that you need to ban travel, whether it's for security purposes, terrorism, by the way, Supreme Court said you could do that, or for a spread of a virus out of the country that it's originating in, it's a scare tactic. Open the borders during a pandemic. It's a good idea, right? So we're on the one hand, we're taking too severe measures that are xenophobic. On the other hand, we're not taking any measures at all. Listen to Chuck Schumer, because he says the opposite, that the administration has been caught flat-footed by this. This has been something originating for months, and you think Chuck Schumer knows exactly what the administration has been doing? No, because they barely talk because of how partisan Washington is. These leaders don't talk. There's a guy trying to impeach the president a month ago. He's not in the know, but take a listen.
The Trump administration has been caught flat-footed. The administration has no plan. The Trump administration has shown towering and dangerous incompetence when it comes to the coronavirus.
You have no idea what the plan is, Chuck, because you don't get to talk to the president hardly anymore. You try to impeach him. There's Nancy Pelosi. She tore up his State of the Union address. So I wouldn't go to them as the people who really are in the know. But they're playing dangerous partisan politics. When it is likely, and I think on paper right now, it's their two states because of the travel and the international travel that likely that they represent, whether it's Nancy Pelosi out of California, Chuck Schumer out of New York, which would be facing a lot of this because of international travel and just the people in and out of the states they represent because of New York City. Nancy Pelosi's in San Francisco. Of course, you could include Los Angeles as well, this case out of Sacramento. And they're criticizing the administration. They've appointed the top person in the country, well-respected by three different administrations, Republican and Democrat, handled the HIV-AIDS pandemic or epidemic or whatever you want to call that, however you want to phrase it, has developed vaccines for it and has been able to prevent the spread of it. And it's why we don't talk about it as much as it's something that, one, ends your life, or two, that can't be prevented. And they've got her on this, leading it as the White House coordinator. I mean, Than, we have serious people inside our government. I know we don't always like the bureaucracy, but we have these divisions that are, the scientists to protect us, like CDC and NIH. And they're there because, listen, they could probably make more money in the private sector, but they're dedicated to public health. And they're always working on this from administration to administration. No one is cutting their funding. No one is keeping them from doing their job. The only thing the administration has said is that when we're going to talk about this publicly, and they're getting criticized for this, we need to be all on the same page. Well, I think that's pretty important when you're talking about something that so many people care about, is that everybody is on the same page, because I don't want to hear from the same federal government officials two different things. That would scare me more, cause more concern in the public.
Yeah, and in fact, I think what you want to do is you want to turn as much control as possible, or at least expertise, over to a public servant like this. I mean, this is not a conservative activist. This is someone who has dedicated their life to this field. So you get advice from someone like that, and then you make the decision. The other interesting thing to me, Jordan, I said this earlier, but both Speaker Pelosi and Leader Schumer say, well, we need more money. We need more money. I'm not sure what the number is that they need, Jordan, but they don't have to wait for the administration to do that. They control the power of the purse. The Congress is the one that passes the money. So if they need more money, Speaker Pelosi can send Leader Schumer and Leader McConnell a package, and they can send it to the president, and the president can make his decision. The funding starts with them, Jordan.
All right, folks. We're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll also, of course, talk about tomorrow, South Carolina votes. They say South Carolina chooses presidents. Will this be a year where they choose Joe Biden? And that is not who the Democratic Party chooses. Or maybe it will be who the voters choose. But
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
As the president has been caught flat-footed, Chuck Schumer, while you were trying to impeach him after he was and before you actually had the acquittal vote, he gave a State of the Union address. Remember, Nancy Pelosi tore this up, and this is what he said. This was February 4th, okay, 3.5 weeks ago, February 4th. Quote, protecting Americans' health also means fighting infectious disease. We are coordinating with the Chinese government and working closely together on the coronavirus outbreak in China. My administration will take all necessary steps to safeguard our citizens from this threat. That was February 4th. People aren't talking about that. And it was probably not a line that got a ton of attention in the State of the Union. You know, Nancy Pelosi ripping that up as well. So maybe she forgot. She was just tearing, you know, she was already pre-tearing the pages. But again, I just want to underscore that this has been something on the mind of the president and his administration before the state, because that's a draft of a speech. That's a speech that was given on February 4th. He's saying in there, we're already doing this. We have already been coordinating with China. We've already been taking the steps. Not that we're starting today on February 4th. So already the administration taking it seriously. I think that there is a fine line between overly scaring a population as large as the United States and taking the right protective measures. And I think you build up to, again, what are the right protective measures for? And it's going to be regional. And then potentially there will be some national things we have to do. But again, it shouldn't be. One thing it shouldn't be is partisan. There should be no partisan politics when it comes to combating these kind of issues. This is something we should be able to rally behind, or and at least just not make partisan. Let the Democrats have their primaries. Let them have their debates. They've got their Super Tuesday. But this should be something we're not politicizing. And yet, the Democrats must make everything partisan right now. The left has to partisan, make everything partisan. So I say this. Under Bernie Sanders as president, I bet he wouldn't take the vaccine from Israel. I'm just going to come out with that statement. If he was president, he probably wouldn't take it from them if Benjamin Netanyahu was continued to be, or anyone like him with the same policies, the prime minister. Because how could you take it from a racist regime? How could you? Under the Bernie Sanders belief system and his supporters like AOC, Rashida Tlaib, they'd be very upset with Bernie Sanders if he were to take a vaccine from Israel, right? Because they want a full boycott and divestment and sanctioning of Israel. And yet it is Israel that we know that is, at least publicly, we now have Israeli scientists from Research Institute saying they're months away from putting it on the market. Weeks away from having it ready to test. Months away from it being able to be on the market so that no one has to get a fear contracting this, that we can all have access to a vaccine like this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And Than, just an update on the Born Alive vote in the House. Now, we knew in the House this would even be more uphill. In the Senate, it got up to 56 votes, three Democrats. In the House, again, only three Democrats. A lot more Democrats there, but only three Democrats supported the Born Alive Protection Act.
Yeah, of course, in the House, Jordan, Speaker Pelosi was not going to put it up for a vote, so the Republicans had to force a procedural vote on it. It's called a motion to recommit, but basically they put the text of the Born Alive bill on the floor of the House just minutes ago, and of course, Speaker Pelosi and the Democrats blocked it. Jordan, only three Democrats even in the House voted for it, Congressman Lipinski, Congressman Peterson, and Congressman McAdams. So again, Jordan, it is both chambers on record in favor of denying care to an infant who is born alive following an abortion attempt, laying on the table. Jordan, this is passive infanticide. You can walk away and let that child die. And combined, between the House and the Senate, only six Democrats in all of Washington, D.C. thought that that should not be allowed.
I mean, you know, it's interesting because Democrat presidential candidate Amy Klobuchar tries to play herself as a moderate, has even said, you know, I think we should welcome pro-life Democrats, pro-life voters into the Democrat Party. Of course, our question was, well, what would she do for their votes? Nothing. And here she is last night on Fox News talking to Martha McCallum, explaining that. Yes, she'll take your pro-life vote, but she will never do anything that you would consider to be pro-life. Take a listen. Bite two.
You weren't there for that vote. So would you have voted to ban abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy?
Well, I would have voted with the Democrats on that because I think Roe v. Wade is now the law of the land. And a lot of these bills are attempts to change that. And I would, if I was president, I would work with Congress to actually try to codify Roe v. Wade into law.
So at what point do you believe that life begins? If 20 weeks, post 20 weeks is acceptable, at what point do you think life begins?
Again, I follow Roe v. Wade.
So there's your answer right there. Than, she wants to codify into law abortion on demand without restriction.
Yeah, she's also dodging the issue, Jordan, because there were two votes. The first one was on pain capable, where it says where the science is conclusive that child feels pain. And in fact, that child will cry out in pain, but the sound will be stifled by the amniotic fluid. She was not willing to protect that child. But Jordan, the second vote, the one she missed, the one she just said she wouldn't be able to go along with him, the one she hid behind Roe v. Wade on, this has nothing to do with that. This has to do with a child that is outside the womb and on the table. It's about infanticide, not abortion. So as bad as the pain capable vote is, I don't think there's any justification for opposing that. This is about children who are born alive. So my follow-up for Senator Klobuchar and, frankly, Senator Warren and all the rest of them is, where do you draw the line? At what point, what age does a child have to be where they can be protected by the law? Because, Jordan, you know this. You're a father. If you walk away from a child until quite a lengthy age, it turns out after some time, that child would die. Yeah. At what point do you have to give care to that child? I would like them to answer that question.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good point. When does the law finally kick in that this is a human being you've got to protect? You've got to do everything possible to keep alive. Because we put people in jail that don't do that. We put you in jail if you don't take care of your children. Even if it was a newborn you just took home from a hospital, I mean, you go to jail. But they're saying, born alive child, nope, can let it die. It's sick. And it's, again, it came up into this context because of these votes that are occurring right now in the House and the Senate. We always want to keep you updated about that, about just how partisan that has become. And don't believe Democrat candidates, at least right now, who tell you they'll welcome your pro-life vote. Sure, they're politicians. They will take your vote. But at the same time, they're not going to do anything that you'll like. In fact, they'll do the opposite when it comes to the pro-life issue. I think that's why so many people who are pro-life just they have no option. There is only one option for them and one party, one choice. I mean, there's options for them in primaries for that party. I know we all know what party we're talking about here. But, you know, they don't get a lot of, there's not a lot of choice, if you will, because if you believe that's murder, that's got to be a top issue for you. If they're not even willing to protect the child outside of the womb, after birth, from a botched abortion that's still alive and give it the care it needs to survive, a child at that point, a human being, I don't care what science or what you think about where it needs to be in a birth canal, this is out. And they're not able to protect that child. Well, then there's only one way you can vote, right? I mean, if you believe infanticide is wrong, there should only be one way you can vote. 1-800-684-3110. We'll get back to the politics of the coronavirus as well. Let's go to Jessica in California on line 5. Jessica, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, Mr. Sekulow. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
What I have is more of a comment. I guess I just don't understand how a people could hate us so much, referring to the Democratic Party like Bernie Sanders against the Republicans, that they would hold back a cure in order to prove that Donald Trump is wrong. They would let people die than to admit that Trump is doing a great job. I don't understand how this demonic lack of judgment and this bias could be ruling our country right now.
It's because we have a very systematic, we have our own epidemic in our country. The partisanship has reached levels that are post-absurd, okay? In a post-absurd world, I believe in TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. It's like a real thing. I mean, one day there may be, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists who can do research into what was this, that even when in moments where we need to come together, these politicians would rather demean the efforts of even the bureaucrats, nonpartisan bureaucrats in this administration. They usually love bureaucrats, but even demean their efforts to protect lives in America and to develop a vaccine and to contain this, in this case, the coronavirus. And they can't even do that. It's Trump derangement syndrome. It may be Republican derangement syndrome long term, but right now it's Trump derangement syndrome. And it likely is the cause because they know they've got a communist that will likely be their nominee. We'll be right back taking your calls on the broadcast.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. Final segment of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You know, during this whole impeachment and focus away from the coronavirus and the impeachment trial and the State of the Union, it's interesting because there were these Harvard professors, including Charles Lieber. They were elite American scientists working at Harvard. And then on January 28th, the FBI came knocking on their door. And now this scientist, along with others, faces charges of trading knowledge for money and lying about it, and alleged that he had set up a lab in China in exchange for hundreds of thousands of dollars in payments from the Chinese government, and then denied knowledge of those payments to U.S. investigators. Understand this. And guess where the college happened to be? Wuhan, where the virus originated. So the FBI was actively apprehending Harvard's top scientists on these issues because they were illegally accepting money, payments, to set up research institutes in China, in Wuhan. Just throwing it out there because no one covered that. Now, that's from NPR, by the way. I'm not reading this on a conspiracy site, not tying it to a specific event. I'm just putting it out there as news that got overlooked in this last 6 weeks. News that we can't keep overlooking. News that's worthy. If it was worthy of NPR writing about it, I think the New York Times wrote about it as well. Wall Street Journal wrote about it as well. And now the NIH has become aware of numerous ethical breaches related to this Chinese plan. And these researchers. So, I mean, what is it up to, Will, of how many scientists they've actually... I mean, we're trying to figure out the total number, but it's like a dozen or more scientists specifically who are being apprehended for this work. And again, directly taking money from China as high as $50,000 a month, along with about $150,000 a year for other expenses, to establish labs at Wuhan University of Technology. And this was unreported. But it was that the FBI got involved too. It wasn't like that. It was just like a tax issue. So, yeah, this is serious, folks. Serious, and goes totally unreported. Let's go back to the phones. Lee in Washington State, on line one. Lee, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, and thank you. I have two quick comments. First, I'm horrified listening to our liberal leaders talking about abortion laws and realizing that I couldn't even trust them to dog sit for me, let alone trust them for my well-being. And then on the coronavirus, my thoughts are this. Instead of the Democratic leaders scrambling to do something about the coronavirus, they're scrambling to find some way to use it against President Trump. And in my opinion, they are blinded by their hate for him. But as our leaders, they're cutting off our noses despite our faces.
Yeah, no, I think it's true. I mean, it's putting us at risk. It's like, again, I'm fine with partisan politics. It's an election year. But sometimes there's issues that arise during those election years that don't have to impact your Super Tuesday, don't have to impact your debates, don't have to impact your criticism of the president, but there are issues where you could lay back and actually work together. You don't have to do it publicly. Do it privately. I don't care if you don't want to actually do it publicly or be seen together because you can't stand each other so much. You got Trump derangement syndrome and can't be with the president doing anything positive. But notice, try to get... Every one of those Democrats should just be asked about Ambassador Debbie Birx. Because when I heard her name come up yesterday, I was listening to, I think it was either CNN or MSNBC. And the commentator they brought on, who was brought on to criticize the Trump administration, said, well, I got to give him credit here. And see, those with Trump derangement syndrome can't give. They can't give any kind of credit. So they have to say they're caught flat-footed. Because Chuck Schumer wasn't listening to the State of the Union and Nancy Pelosi was tearing it apart. That the president was saying, announcing that we were already working on it. That was in February 4th. Not that we're just starting to work on it, that we're already working on it. And, you know, it's interesting, we got in a Facebook chat that there are theories that the virus was created in a lab. Well, it absolutely was a lab-created virus, right? I mean, they were doing work on the virus in a lab. But that's not a theory, that's fact. The question is how it got out of a lab into the public. So oftentimes, I mean, they're handling very serious these kind of lab-created diseases and viruses at places like the CDC in America, so that they know they can then learn how to combat them if something like that arose. So it's very, of course, the process is that you would never want that to be able to breach through the protocol of getting out to the public. And yet that happened here. So there's not a question about whether or not it was lab created, but the question is how it got from a lab to the general public. That is a question that still we don't really know all the answers to. And at this point, the top concern is that we get it handled. And yet, Than, we're hearing crazy theories from Democrats like, don't bar people from the country of origin from this virus, even though that may be bad for our economics and bad for the stock market. And yet the Trump administration is willing to do that. But Nancy Pelosi called that a scare tactic. And you got Elizabeth Warren, on the other hand, saying, see, open borders and no border wall, it would make it easier to combat the coronavirus, which is like, again, it's basically like her calling herself a Native American again. It's a just an outright lie. It goes against all truth, if you will.
Well, Jordan, I'm sure if the administration hadn't banned the travel, that's exactly what those members would be clamoring for. They would say, why hasn't the administration done it? I mean, the example I would give is Senator Tom Cotton, who's been talking about the lab-created nature of this virus for some time now, and he has been absolutely derided in Washington, D.C. for even asking the question, even though it's specifically within his jurisdiction to provide that kind of oversight. And, of course, they've just ignored the judicial side of this, where the Department of Justice, like you said, has arrested this professor. I mean, those questions at least have to be asked, Jordan, and it was barely reported on when it happened. But I would tell you this. No matter the issue, this has been the case. I mean, think about the Soleimani strike, Jordan, and I actually think the Born Alive vote goes to that as well. These are issues that should be able to be bipartisan, should span the partisan aisle in Washington, D.C., but Jordan, too often, I don't even think they're looking at the merits of it. They look to see where the president is, and then they just reflectively take the other side, whether there's any merit to that or not.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where we are right now. Is it we're not looking at the real truth. We're not trying to find the real truth. We're ignoring the actual problem and the good that's being done to correct the problem. We want to ignore it if it's those authoritarians that, hey, if they do something good in China, praise them. You know, if authoritarians do something good, they teach people how to read and write. But again, I asked two questions. One, if Israel, like it's being reported, is the first to have a vaccine that could be on the market that we could all utilize against the coronavirus, Bernie Sanders and his supporters who support the boycott of Israel and all Israeli goods boycott the vaccine. Until he says otherwise, I'd say yeah. So hopefully he's not president during an outbreak like this and Israel's not the one with the vaccine. And number two, when will Democrats stop playing politics with an issue that affects every single American, no matter how wealthy you are, how poor you are, or where you live in the country? Those are the two big questions. We'll give you full analysis of the South Carolina primary on Monday's broadcast. Have a great week, and go to ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.